cliffcentral.com.
How are you?
Tell me you're not tempted to burst into song.
I love this song. Are you kidding? I never get sick of it.
I would, except I have such a bad singing voice.
Well, no, you did a version once and it was very good.
Mm-hmm. So these newspapers, some interesting stuff on here. Sea Harvest shares in demand. They're raising their bid offer. Green Bay's moving to the main board. And Micro Mega directors got fined R1 million for trading during a closed period. Mm. They're useful, these papers.
Yeah, they sometimes are. I also saw an interesting story here about Mark Barnes.
Applying for the banking license in two months' time.
So they can lend people money via the post office.
But that was always the plan, right? To turn the post office into a bank. They've got such good footprint. It's the only way to go, really.
Big infrastructure. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk quickly about some of the things that I need to catch up on. First of all, Friday was great, wasn't it?
From a volume, yes. Thursday was incredible from a returns point of view. We got over 2% from the market. Big volumes, 4.4 billion rand on Thursday, $4.4, $2.3 billion on Friday. And then if you include Wednesday, in 3 days, $100 billion traded.
Jeez, okay.
Isn't that amazing? That's in South Africa, on the South African Stock Exchange, in 3 days, R100 billion. That's a lot of noughts, a lot of zeros.
Who are the big winners?
Okay. On Thursday, it was almost every stock. On Friday, it was slightly different because we had a rebalance of the index, so a quarterly...
What does this mean? Does this mean people are buying up stocks when they all go?
Well, they're buying and selling because...
Right. But when the volume is so huge?
So volume was huge on Thursday because it was derivatives closeout. And what they do is they all have a position to that day, which they are trying to close this arbitrage gap. And so they're trying to get the last price. I mean, on Friday even, because of the index rebalance, a third of the volume traded in the auction. Hmm. So a lot of it was technical and arbitrage trading rather than investment, trading rather than investment. Right. So the interesting thing that happened on Friday was that Brait fell out of the top 40 index and Truworths went into it. So this is by market capitalization. And often what you find overseas or even here is that people track the index. And so they're forced to buy the shares that go into the index and sell the ones that come out. But actually, they were buying Brait anyway because it was up 1.4%. And then strangely, Truworths lost 1.2%. So that was a bit odd. And then RMI, the Rand Merchant Investment Company, they entered the FTSE All World Index and the share was up 3% on Friday. So a lot of buying there, people trying to rebalance their positions, their portfolios, that sort of thing.
You know, Brait deserved to be dropping out of there, frankly. They've really not performed.
No, not at all.
I'm looking at the chart here for 2 years of Brait. It's basically at a lower level now than it was 2 years ago, despite everything seemingly being in its
favor. Well, that was Brexit,
favor.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
That was the issue. And people not figuring out where to go from here, I think.
Yeah, it was absolutely mostly Brexit, but I'm so disappointed in that share. It really hasn't delivered.
I am actually as well.
All right.
So we did see a bit of consolidation on Friday, global markets as well as locally. We gave back about 0.5%. For the week, we're up 2% though, so that's quite nice. And then this rand, still trading at levels last seen 18 months ago, 12.71 to the dollar, 13.67 to the euro, and 15.78 to the pound. I mean, that is just incredible, really. And a lot of it, again, got to do with what Janet Yellen said on Wednesday night rather than us specifically. And then, of course, resources, commodity are higher on the back of higher commodity prices. So just all things moving quite strangely, but in an interesting way. And then Remgro was down almost 4% on Friday. They put out a very disappointing interim result. And you know, Remgro really is just an investment holding company. And I think about 80% of the share is made up of underlying listed shares. So like Mediclinic, Brait. Oh, I don't know if they still hold Brait. And that sort of thing. So they put out headline earnings per share of 26%. 8% increase. But if you exclude once-off items, then actually headline earnings per share was only up 4.3%. They're now on an intrinsic NAV, NAV, net asset value, of 257 Rand. And the share is known to trade at a discount of between 12 and 15% to NAV. Because that's what happens sometimes. It's now trading just over 16% discount. So I guess if you believe there was a narrowing of the discount, you could potentially pick up 4%. But it's actually not even worth it, really. I mean, they're sitting on a nice cash position of 12 billion rand.
Wow.
Yeah. I think some of it's going to be used to buy SAB Miller's share in Distell. So that will be one of the things that they really, management are not really being forthcoming, because we suspect that some of it will also be used to buy up Spire Healthcare in the UK, which Mediclinic already owns some of. What management have said is that they are holding the money for value enhancing transactions, which you kind of almost have to believe, because that's what they do. They're investors, yeah. Right?
All right.
They're going to do that. It reminds me, though, I don't know why, I put the two companies
who are
together.
Who are the people at Remgro? I mean,
this is the company that was started by Rupert,
right.
By the Ruperts in the 1940s. They started that tobacco company brand or four brand.
British American Tobacco.
And then yeah. They rolled it out to British American Tobacco. They started Venfin. It's a whole.
So
history of,
do they still own a lot of these shares?
I don't know who the absolute holdings of Remgro are, unfortunately. Sorry.
But I'm sure they would be, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, they'd be. I just don't know how much. They're for sure.
Okay.
I don't know
and
how much.
And then what is, what is Reinet then? Reinet. Yeah,
also an investment holding company, but that's the problem with these companies. They're all kind of spun out of each other into separate listed holding companies. What was the other one? Venfin. That was another one that was out of it. And I can't remember if Venfin stood for venture financing or something.
Wow.
Okay. No, it's a very convoluted structure. And if you look at it carefully, I suspect you'll find that most of it is held by three or four people.
It,
you know what else this reminds me of is Richemont. And I saw over the weekend that Richemont launched their first smartwatch.
Oh.
Their first Mont Blanc smartwatch called Summit.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting, because that's not the sector that Richemont plays in. You know, they're luxury brands, they're heritage pieces. So it's interesting to see them going into it. I can't believe that they'll get that many sold. I mean, who would buy a fancy smart watch? Like, well, first of all, they have leather.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Really?
Same people who would buy one of those pens that costs 55,000 Rand.
But those pens are like heritage value. They're luxury pieces. Like,
so
the smartwatch
has. This would be the luxury smartwatch.
It has a leather strap. Like, who trains with a leather strap? I don't get it. Anyway. Ben looks like he wants to tell us something.
No, I don't know. Like, I saw an interview with Han Rupert saying that obviously, you know, the timepiece has been something forever and ever, but people want to live for the now nowadays. And he is quite visionary in that. I think at some stage he was involved in bringing Apple products into the country as well. So he's got a good understanding about trends, innovations, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's not a massive surprise to me that this would be an option.
That Mont Blanc now has the smartwatch.
Yeah.
Summit.
Now, you were asked a question last week about African Phoenix. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yes. So if you remember, African Phoenix is African Bank that was spun out, delisted, restructured, separated into the good and the bad bank.
Mm-hmm.
African Phoenix has come back to the market. They came back in February. Not as a bank, though, as an investment company. And when African Bank delisted, they delisted at 31 cents. And they relisted, the share shot up to 54 cents. I think it's even trading above 60 cents now. And the problem with it was that their pref, because they didn't list as a bank, their pref shares had an issue. So if you had these pref shares, you're probably up in arms, because they used to be cumulative. Now they're not. And so if this new company, if you like, investment company, doesn't pay a dividend, it won't be accumulated into next year, which it normally would have done in the bank prefs.
Mm-hmm.
So you just miss out. It has, at the last check, it had a net asset value of 31 cents a share. It was trading over 60. I don't know. It feels like a bit of a speculative share to me. I'm staying away from it. If you own shares in it and it's, you know, kind of, you don't need the money, then Why not? You can hold them and hopefully they'll go higher. There's no real reason for it to go higher. There's no real reason. They haven't given us anything. You know, with Remgro and Richemont, we know what the investment thesis is. But with African Phoenix, we don't.
We don't have any idea yet.
No,
just hold tight. Don't go there if you don't have to. Okay, and then there was a $2.8 billion loss in Valiant Pharma.
Oh, yes.
What's this all about?
This is a guy called Bill Ackman. He's
Tell me about
what
him.
You call an activist shareholder in the U.S. He runs a fund, hedge fund called Pershing or Pershing Square, which is absolutely huge. He bought into Valiant in 2014, paid $196 a share. Last week sold it at $11 a share, thereby crystallizing a $2.8 billion loss. I mean, the only thing bigger.
So why would he do that? Is that just being destructive?
No. So he doesn't believe in the story anymore. He took a board seat at all drama. This is how he plays. I mean, the only thing bigger than his hedge fund is his ego. And he's that guy, you know, like he goes out there, buys huge stakes in companies, takes a seat on the board, turns it around. I mean, this is also not his first loss that he's had, but it is a big story because he's such a big hedge fund manager. That's what it is. I mean, he was the guy who basically called Herbalife a Ponzi scheme. He's that kind of guy. Right,
yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. And then lastly, I guess we had two accelerated book builds last week as well. One, both in the property sector. One was Mass Property. They raised 1.7 billion rand. And then a company called Green Bay Property. They're Mauritius based, but they brought in a local our local property company, Resilient, to buy two malls in Portugal. It really looks like a good idea, though. The anchor tenants for these malls are the Inditex brand, so Massimo Dutti, Zara, Stradivarius. And they raised 2 billion rand. And so there's definitely money still in the stock market, or money to be invested in the stock market. Like all these big deals going through, you know, we just read about Sea Harvest upping their capital raise as well.
All right, Anthea, that's a lot to chew on for this morning.
Okay.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
We will see you tomorrow morning.
No, you won't. I'm on holiday tomorrow.
Sorry, tomorrow's a holiday. No, for all of us. Sorry, Wednesday morning.
Indeed.
When we try to get the economy going again on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
What do these public holidays do to the stock market?
Well, they just close.
So nothing happens.
No.
Just goes dead. All right, there we go. Anthea Gardner, a look at your money. CliffCentral.com.